You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, I spoke to Jess and Noor from Rainbow Election 2020 about their LGBTQIA plus policy tool for this year's election. The tool was created in collaboration with 13 Rainbow organisations and aims to both inform the public in voting and policymakers in how they can protect the Rainbow community. It highlights 15 policy areas that they are asking for political parties to take a stance on, split into four categories: health, education, community, and legal. Last week, we spoke about the issues of disengagement by voters and political parties. This week, Jess and Noor give some examples of the types of policies that fall under those four categories. We began by talking about health.
With health in particular, some of the issues that we came across was that there aren't enough rainbow-friendly health practitioners who would understand the intricacies of even something as simple as the difference between gender and sex, as an example. And if we take this into the context of within the trans community, it might be hard to access gender-affirming healthcare because they might be seen as a burden to the health system, and it can be quite costly to go under the public health system. So that's one example of where you need some specific tailoring to the rainbow community. And then another one is if we're talking about mental health, it really makes a difference if the practitioners actually can talk to these issues and help them in the way that talks to their own experience of being a person in the rainbow community. And we think that currently within the public health system, there aren't enough practitioners who have that knowledge and that cultural competency, which is really lacking. And that's what makes it different between the rainbow populations, between the general population. And this goes without saying for other communities as well, such as, like, for example, people of color or like Maori and Pacifica communities, in which your health needs would be different because of your context. And that's very similar here, but not saying that they are one of the same.
Jess then commented on some of the policies that fall under the education umbrella.
In terms of education, we know that some schools are doing fantastic work and some schools are really lacking. I think as a rainbow young person, you want to feel safe at school. You want to feel like your communities are represented. And for lots of rainbow kids and young people, this isn't the case. So our tool, what we're advocating for, is for rainbow experiences to be talked about in the curriculum. So that covers things like health and sex education, so making sure that at school you're learning about diverse gender, diverse sexuality, diverse sexual characteristics in the health sector, but you're also learning about rainbow experiences and things like history and social studies, and even, you know, little things like a maths problem, including someone who's gender diverse or someone who has a same-sex partner. Making it easier for rainbow people to feel included is not especially difficult, but just does take some little tweaking of the curriculum that's working at the moment. The other concern that we have with education is things like having access to gender neutral toilets. So if you're a non-binary person, being able to go to the toilet at school is something that you shouldn't have to think twice about, but is really difficult for non-binary kids.
Noor gave more insight into the community category.
So within community, we have policies in relation to reducing rainbow youth homelessness, reducing family and sexual violence within rainbow communities, as well as supporting trans prisoners. So the homelessness issue is massive, and it's a large systemic issue. And the solution for homelessness, for example, would be to implement a rainbow homelessness plan that would include emergency housing and upskilling service providers on how to support rainbow young people, as well as specific regional support, because right now it can be concentrated in urban areas, but it might be difficult for those living in more rural areas to be accessing these services that big cities like Auckland have a lot more support and funding for. And that's the other thing as well, is throughout this process, we have been fortunate enough to get consultation and feedback from other rainbow groups. So it's been a collective effort. And in assessing all of our policies, we've really seen that we need to have training for various practitioners in a multitude of sectors to be able to have that culturally appropriate and culturally diverse knowledge to serve these communities. And I think that's a point that we want to highlight as well.
Lastly, Jess spoke about the legal aspect.
There's a few legal issues that are particularly affecting rainbow communities. One that stands out is the Births, Deaths, Marriages and Relationships Registration Act, which does a lot of things, but one of the things that affects rainbow communities is that it is really difficult to change your sex marker on your birth certificate. And it's a really lengthy and can be costly process. You need to have undertaken medical steps as part of your transition, which isn't available to everyone. It just makes it really difficult to be able to change your sex on your birth certificate, which is really out of step with how New Zealand operates for things like your passport or your driver's license, where you just need a statutory declaration. So we want to try and bring the Births, Deaths and Marriages Act in the line with the process that it is for driver's license or a passport, because it shouldn't be as difficult as it is.
That was Jess and Noord from Rainbow Election 2020. Now, at the time we spoke last week, only the Green and New Conservative parties had any rainbow policies. However, since then, the Labour Party has stepped up to indicate its support for 11 of the 15 policies. You can have a read of the policies yourself on their website, rainbowelection2020.org.nz, or on social media. Their launch event is happening on the 17th of September with guest speaker MP Chloe Swarbrick, and they'll be hosting a policy workshop on the 1st of October.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.